Welcome to the Washington Heights Church weekly podcast. We do this to help people feel at home at WHC, where we help people meet and follow Jesus. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for joining us today on the podcast. And as we mentioned before, we provide a number of different topics and experiences in these podcasts. And we like to hear from some voices of what God is doing either in America or around the world in His church. And we're also going to address some of the current topics here and there. And we also want to introduce you to our staff members so that you can be a little bit more familiar with who you often see on a Sunday or throughout the week, but to get a little bit more to know who are they and what makes them tick. Today with me, I have Tammy Higginson, and Tammy has been a part of the Washington Heights staff for a number of years. She oversees children's ministry and also a lot of what happens in our office environment. Tammy, thank you for joining us today.
I'm glad to be here, Roy. The last two have been awesome, so thanks for inviting me in.
Well, there's no accounting for taste. Let me ask you some questions here, and we'll just kind of do this in a Q&A format, but tell us a little bit about yourself. Born and raised, where are you from, and things like that.
All right. Well, interestingly enough, I was born and raised in a little town here in Utah called Roy. So how you feel about that, Roy?
How about that, Roy?
So out of 20 people on your staff, I think there's only six of us that are from Utah, and I'm one of them. So that's interesting. I was raised in the same house. I was born and raised and left home in the same house that my parents lived in. They lived there for over 50 years. In fact, they lived there until they passed. I was the youngest of five kids. I have three brothers and a sister. And my sister used to joke and tell me, "Hey, I only got married so I could stop babysitting you." She was 18 when I was born. So I was one of those surprises. And I didn't know what that meant till later in life. But
later we know what that means.
Yeah. I did. I understood what that was later. You know, my first job was in Roy. I was a car hop at Warren's when Warren's. So that's dating me. You're going to know my age, but that's what I did. I grew up there. Those were my stomping grounds.
A proud graduate of Roy High School.
Proud graduate of Roy High. And you know, I'm not that great at math. And what do I say? I went to Roy High.
And I'm sure there's some people who grew up around here who know that Jim McMahon, the famous quarterback of the Chicago Bears, is a graduate of Roy High School. Did you go to school with Jim McMahon?
He was a little bit older than me, but I went to school same age as his brother, actually.
Well, Tammy, tell us a little bit about your family.
My family is a gift, and I've been married to my husband, Bruce, for 35 years. We actually became friends in junior high, and we started dating in high school. And I say he's my hero because he's kept me around when nobody else would. So he's awesome. We married in our early 20s, and we actually bought our first home in Roy. So there you are again. We kept our stomping grounds there. And we had two children there, Perry. I have a son named Perry and a daughter, Hannah. They're amazing kids and amazing people. In fact, Bruce and I talk about how they're the ones who really show us what it means to love Jesus and to have wisdom. Often, even now. We also joke that, you know, they survived even having us for parents. I don't know if you know how that feels.
All too well. And Tammy's not bragging about her kids either. My kids went to school with her kids, and they were exceptional then, and they are just excellent people now as well.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And they're not perfect, but they picked some good spouses. My son-in-law, Ivan, and my daughter-in-law, Shannon, are beautiful people. So thank you.
So, Tammy, you oversee children's ministry, and as far as, you know, just requiring the most people, children's ministry is at the top of that heap there. How many folks is it that it takes to run children's ministry, at least when we're meeting in person, because we're doing this during the pandemic when we're separated? But when we're meeting in person, children's ministry requires how many people?
We have about 140 unique individuals. It can be up to 150. On a Sunday, we need about 100, but we don't have everybody there every Sunday. So right now, to really run it effectively, to do what we want to do and the dreams that we have, we could use a couple hundred people, Roy, seriously.
So plenty of opportunities available, is what you're saying?
Plenty of opportunities available, absolutely.
And you mentioned the dream. What is the dream? So if, you know, there's a child who's in our nursery and then is here through fourth grade and is ready to kind of make that next step into Route 56, as we call it, what do you dream and vision for that child who is with us that whole time?
You know, whether it's a child that we have that's here from birth all the way through high school, or a child that just shows up on a Sunday and they've never been here, the dream is the same. And it's the same dream we have as Washington Heights. It's to help people meet and follow Jesus. But our people are just little people. They're smaller people. It's important to us that we constantly evolve and change what we're doing, because as you know, society changes and sometimes it's really quick. Children change. I mean, I've been here, 30 years with my own kids, you know, they were both raised here. And so volunteering in that time looks very different than it does today. And even in the last, I guess it's been maybe 14 years, you know, and I know we have changed a lot over the years, how we minister to kids. But I would say most important, you know, is technology, music, hands-on, all of that, we change. The main message of Jesus and his unconditional love never changes. You know, God loves us no matter who we are or what we've done. You've said this before, no matter what's been done to us, there's hope and forgiveness. So safety is one of our top priorities, physically, emotionally, spiritually safe. Some of our children don't even know what a Bible is. And that's a beautiful day when we get a child here, whether they're kindergarten, nursery, or fourth grade, fifth grade, whatever that is. And they don't even know what a Bible is. Their parents are here searching. And sometimes we've had parents say, hey, my kid's asking questions. Can you help me? It's important to us to provide safety, that they won't feel like they're going to get called out or called on a question that they can't answer. So that's a spiritually safe environment. Physically, we always try to have two leaders in the room. You know that, Roy? There goes our numbers. That's part of what causes our numbers to go up. Some of our children are abused. They come from places that are really hard, and to protect them, to protect the leaders, that's something that's very important to us, to keep them safe. Our check-in and out process, that's a part of it all the way up. We loosen those boundaries as they get a little older into fifth, sixth, and students. But I think it helps the parents know their kids are safe here and we're not going to release them to anybody that we don't have a picture of. I think one of the most important things too, the dream, no matter how old they are, is that they have fun while they're learning. That's key, Roy. Hmm. I mean, that's why we have large group, small group. You know, we try to model it after what we do as adults.
And, you know, we started doing something after the services of a meet and greet room where parents would come in or people would come in and talk to us just about who they are. And I can't, you know, just say enough about how many times parents have said that their kids woke them up that morning and wanted to come to church, I think because of that kind of environment where it is fun and they are learning things of substance as well. And so it sounds like in many ways, you know, the how has changed, but the what we're sharing with the kids is the same as it's always been. It's about who Jesus is and how they can be in a relationship with him.
Absolutely. I think my personal dream is that when they arrive, they can take off any masks that they're wearing, any armor that they've got on, that they can stop trying to be somebody they're not. It's so hard these days for kids, and our leaders understand that too. So we try to create an environment where they feel safe. They can trust their leaders to care for them. It's important that they know, like I said, that God loves them no matter what. I grew up in a religion that was heavy on guilt, shame, perfection, rules, works. And I never knew, Roy, if I'd done enough to have God love me and or even to be worthy of his forgiveness. I didn't understand it was free. And so, you know, the big book up in heaven, and I had done enough wrong and I hadn't done enough right. And I remember hating going to church. So I think we're really passionate about providing safe where they can come and enjoy and have fun and not feel guilty. I ended up being a very insecure and afraid and troubled youth growing up that way, and really young adult you know? And I don't want these kids to have to wait till they're 30, like I was, to understand that God loves you no matter what.
You know, you referenced parents a few times, and I know it's a pretty tight ship back there in terms of the security, because we take that very, very seriously, that
yeah, we do.
Something happening to one child would be one too many. So are parents kept out of that, or what opportunities are there for parents to be involved in what happens either with their kids or even if they don't have kids? How can they be a part of what's happening back there?
Yeah, they are welcome back anytime. And that's what we want them to know too, because that can be a scary thing. Like, what, this is a barrier and we can't come back? You come back, enjoy, meet your child's leader, stay with us if you want to for an hour. See what they're learning, understand who their teacher is, and volunteer if you want to. You are welcome. You don't have to know the Bible. You don't have to answer hard questions. You just need to care. And, you know, I'd love even to talk more about volunteers, because they're the ones that make it happen. They provide that environment, and parents are welcome at any time.
And Tammy, we've talked about this, but it might be good for you to just kind of expand on this a little bit. Does the church take the place of the parents in the spiritual realm?
It does not. No, very clearly, God lets us know that the children are a gift to their parents, and the parents are the first line. And actually, studies show, no matter how, I told you about me and Bruce, no matter how much we think we mess it up, we have the most impact on our kids spiritually. And so we're here to say, parents, if you don't know about the Bible, if you don't know, we all don't know everything, come on back, hang out with us, be a part of bringing your child along spiritually. You're really the ones they're listening to. You are the ones that are going to make the greatest impact in their life. God gave them to you.
Yeah, we're here to help parents.
We're just
right?
here to come alongside of the parent. Exactly.
Yeah. So you've talked a lot about the volunteers. Tell us a little bit, you know, who is back there? Who is serving in that area?
Wow. They are some of the most dedicated, encouraging, creative people I've ever served with or met. A couple of them were back there in the 90s when Bruce and I were here helping and volunteering with our kids, and they're still here today. But we also have young adults. We have students who are helping to lead children. And that goes back to part of the dream that you asked about, Roy. You asked, what does it look like for a child to go all the way through? Well, as we get together, Route 56, Andrew and Matt in students and I, that is a dream, that they would leave children's, move up through fifth, sixth, high school, and then be able to come back and lead little children in the way that they were led. And that's happening. Right now, we probably have 15 to 20 students and young adults that are, some are even teaching up front, because age isn't, it's not a barrier for kids. In fact, they really enjoy having young people.
Trust me, those of us who are getting older realize that, you know, the closer you are in age to the people you're talking to, there's some advantages there.
It's true. And I think you and I have both said, if I'm not relevant anymore, I got to step aside, you know?
You betcha. It isn't about us, right?
No. So the dream is to prepare those kids coming up to take over for what we're doing, to keep it going, change it in the direction it needs to go. Gifting is so much more important. In fact, who do we have back there? I mean, that's kind of something you asked me too. We have vets. We have our veterinarian. We have a doctor. We have electricians. We have all kinds. We have accountants. We have very few teachers. And my point is, we have a rocket scientist that's teaching fourth grade. They just love to be a part of making a difference in a child's life and really creating a new culture for what's to come.
Yeah, I wonder if one of the perceptions of somebody who hasn't been involved in children's ministry, whether it be here or somewhere else, might think that it's one of two things, right? Either I'm teaching, or maybe if I'm in the nursery, I'm doing more just kind of glorified babysitting and maybe changing some diapers. What would you say in response to that?
Oh, I would say, yeah, that's not it at all. Actually, what you're doing is having an impact on a life that not only needs it today, because who knows what they're going through at home. Maybe they just need a kind word, a smile, a touch. We talk about ministry in the nursery. You're changing a diaper with the love of Jesus. Everything we do reflects on who he is. So we have an Air Force colonel that's back there that you would never know, because he just comes in and he listens to kids. He teaches them, but he listens more than he teaches. And that's creating the relationship that kids will trust, and then they'll listen to the information. You just need to be willing. You know, we have maybe it's a kind smile from somebody out just working the computers. They're on the team. They're helping people check in. People who run kids here and there and just saying, hey, hope you have a great day. You know, there is something that anybody can do with any gifting, even just a smile. Mm-hmm. Every week to see that same smile is reassurance for a kid that life's going to be okay today.
Something for everybody back mm-hmm. there, right? Either upfront people, behind the scenes people, whatever.
Absolutely. And it's a blast. We joke about being in kids. And like you said, you know, it's glorified babysitting, but oh, if you just got to try it, really.
Yeah. And, you know, in addition to what people have told me in that meet and greet room, there have been a few times people have told me, hey, no offense, but we're here because our kids want to be here, not because of you. And it's like, that's awesome.
It's awesome. I mean, you come back, you got a sheriff and a cop and a this and a that. You can have a blast. How can you not have fun?
Timmy, let me have you broaden the picture a little bit. You're also part of our management team here. So you know, just function in the bigger picture as well as overseeing children's ministry and also our office environment, which is just top notch. But what is your favorite thing that's happening right now in Washington Heights in the bigger picture?
That's such a good question. And you're right. I've been here a long time. I would say my favorite thing about Washington Heights right now is our culture, that it's our way of life. It's how we do things. It's how we live. It's everything. It's how we breathe. Because what it is us seeing lives transformed weekly, daily sometimes, whether they're children's lives or adult lives. I think everybody's realizing that we need to reach out to a hurting world and share hope and love found in Jesus. And it seems like it only takes somebody a little bit of time to be here, and they're part of that culture. They get it. None of us are perfect, but we can reach out to a hurting world, even with our imperfections, and show them the love and the forgiveness. I think it's providing that judgment-free zone that anybody's welcome here. So kids invite friends, people invite people, because we know it's not us. It's not us doing it. We can trust Jesus, right? We can trust God and His Spirit to help people along. We just need to be here to love them. One of my favorite authors, Bob Goff, says it like this. He says, what if we gave away love like we were made of it? I feel like that's where we're at, whether it's a serve project or it's church or it's Wednesday night. I just feel like that's what we can do.
A quick aside, if you're on Twitter and you want to follow somebody who puts out a lot of good statements like that, follow Bob Goff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, God's using him in some pretty amazing ways. Talk about, you know, culture at church. You've seen different cultures. So how big of a difference do you think that makes to somebody who's walking in to a church environment and maybe they've had a bad experience somewhere? Maybe they've talked to, you know, or experienced judgment as you talked about before. Maybe they just have no frame of reference whatsoever. What difference does culture make?
I think it makes all the difference. I think you can walk into a place and know immediately whether you're welcome. There's a feeling, there's a sense, there's a look. Sometimes they even talk about a smell, right? You can walk into a place and think, I don't belong. Mm-hmm. And I think if I could describe it, it is the beauty of Jesus. It's the love of Jesus. It's the forgiveness of Jesus. It's the smell, even the coffee, just all of that, that says, welcome home. You are welcome here. And I remember thinking, how do we do this? How do we not have barriers for people? Whether it's what we say or how we look or what we do or the words we use, and we've worked really hard. It doesn't feel like work anymore. It feels like that's who we are. It's just natural. It's just happening. And the responses we're seeing, the lives that are being changed, and again, little people and big people, that's the testimony to me that God is doing His work.
You know, I once heard somebody say this, you know, that we work to create a safe place so that people can hear a dangerous message.
Ooh, you know, that's good.
That transforms a heart and a life. And may that be the case for us, right?
That's exactly right. That doesn't change. Sorry to interrupt.
No.
Message doesn't change. How we do it might. It might look different 3 years from now. It might look different after this pandemic. I don't know, but we'll trust God for it.
It has to change.
Yeah.
Right. But the message never does.
That's right.
Method, the how, absolutely. And any good missionary would tell you the same thing, right? You develop a strategy that's going to be effective, but you don't change the message. It's the same message for 2,000 years that our hope is found in nobody but Jesus.
That's right.
Hey, let me switch gears again a little bit. You lead a small group. Tell everybody about that group.
Yeah, I do lead a small group, and they are an amazing group of women. That's part of the culture around here. I love our small groups. I love what's happened to me in our small group. I thought I was leading a small group. Actually, I'm just a part of a group that's amazing. They lead me. We lead each other. And sometimes, you know, we can just have silence and know we're just in this together. They are amazing. We enjoy laughing. We enjoy crying. We enjoy praying. Some of the women have not maybe even crossed the line of faith yet. I love that. I love that we're a place where it's, again, safe to invite people in. They're not going to hear anything that's going to hurt, but they are going to hear truth. And so I love that each of us is in a different place in our journey with Jesus right now.
So it sounds like you're saying that, you know, it should be good to belong before you even believe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is the first time I've really experienced that in a small group way, that it's okay to not be where everybody else is. We're going to be respectful and we're going to love each other. And it's awesome. They're a beautiful bunch of women.
Well, Tammy, I want to thank you for your time, and I want to thank you for all that you're doing. You have made a huge, huge impact on Washington Heights in general, on the culture here, on so much of what is happening here has your fingerprints on it. And I thank you for spending a few moments as well. And if people, you know, decided to say, hey, you know what, I want to maybe be a part of what's going on in Children's, what would they do? And again, we know we're separated right now because we have to be, but you know, assuming things return to some form of normal here soon, how would somebody go about doing that?
Just get a hold of us. Just let me know. And again, remember, my journey started at 30, and I was at this church, and I knew nothing, and I had a lot of baggage, and I had a lot of forgiveness that needed to happen, and I didn't know the Bible. And God ministered to me in that way. He allowed me to serve alongside of my kids. So just call. Just reach out. Let's see if there's a place for you. And if it's not in kids, we try it. We'll find a place for you. But get connected somewhere. God can use you. He's got a plan for you. If he had a plan for me, and he's still showing me plans, I'm still a work in progress. He's got a plan for them. And we'd love to be a part of that journey. So just call the church office or, you know, email Tammy@whc.faith.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Tammy, and thanks for listening in, and we hope that we see you next time.
Indeed. Thanks, Roy. It's a blast.
Thanks for joining us for the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. A new podcast will post every Monday. We encourage you to check it out, subscribe to it as well. It'll come into your feed automatically. And if you want to share that with somebody that you know that maybe wants to find out a little bit more about Washington Heights, go ahead and share that. And we look forward to hearing from you as well. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.